Let's stand and open our Bibles, please, and let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, and we'll read responsively again tonight, text verse being verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which he also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're coming again. We just love you tonight, Lord Jesus. We love our church. We love our preacher. We love our people. And Father, we're praying that you be tonight with us. You meet with us tonight. You speak to our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive manna from heaven. Oh, Lord, be with our preacher. Help him as he brings this message to us. And Father, be with our hearts. Help it to be prepared to receive it. That when the time comes to respond, Lord, we make the decision based on the prompting of your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much tonight, Lord, and we just are honored to be here today to listen from your word. And we ask now all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Not quite sure how this message will be delivered tonight. I was just reading this passage through this week. And it comforted my heart. I'll show you how it comforted my heart in just a moment. I just got thinking, we have a lot to look forward to as a Christian. And I think you see that here this evening. You know, there's no greater life than being a child of God. I'm having a blast. I wouldn't have no desire to be anywhere but church tonight. I'd have no desire to hang around anybody but church people and the fellowship that I get from church people. I have no other book that I desire to read than the Bible. I have no other God that I desire to serve than the God of heaven. And I'm just saying we have a wonderful, wonderful life that we can live as a Christian. Being a Christian is just a tremendous, tremendous life. And I hope, boy, you know, I hope you're getting the fullest benefits of being a Christian. I hope you are. You know, so oftentimes because we limit ourselves, we limit growth, and we talked a lot about growth the last several Wednesday nights, but we limit our growth by not allowing God to fully take charge of our life. And that's what he really wants. And by the way, you know, our purpose for being here is to glorify God, not us. Our purpose is to glorify God. But, you know, we do have a lot to look forward to. I was looking at this, and the title of my message tonight is, What Are You Looking For? What are you looking for? You know, Jesus had just given his disciples a great commission here and his promise. And in his earthly ministry, of course, he had told the disciples, you know, that the things that were going to happen, and he told them about the death, the burial, resurrection. I'm not always going to be with you, he had told them. I'm only going to be here for a little while. And it's not that these disciples were not warned. It's not that they were not prepared. But I can also understand how the disciples were feeling. Here they served Jesus personally. Here they knew Jesus in a personal way. I mean, they got to serve him. They got to go from town to town, city to city, and serve Jesus hand and foot, if you will. And I can understand a little bit how they were feeling, maybe apprehensive and scared. And of course, you know, Jesus is promising everything that he is doing, everything he had promised. You know, he said he would ascend into heaven, and he's doing that here. And of course, he'd gone ahead and left the job for them to do, the great Great Commission. Of course, we could go ahead and take verse 11, and a lot of preachers have preached it. I could even preach it, and it's true, and it's good. Why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? In other words, why are you just sitting here looking up here? Get busy and take the Great Commission and go do something big for God. Yeah, that is true. But, you know, I got thinking about, I'm going to flip the coin over a little bit. I got thinking about some things here tonight about what is it that they were really looking for. You know, were they looking for Jesus to come back and have it be the way it was? I don't know. I mean, of course, they knew in their heart of hearts what was going to happen, but I think this must have been kind of a hard time for them. But were they looking for Jesus to come back and have it be the way it used to be? I'm sure they would have loved that, to serve Jesus again personally. But the Lord, of course, here sends an angel to give them the glorious promise that Jesus himself would return some sweet day. Praise the Lord for that. Boy, we ought to look for his appearing. You know, I was thinking about the connection in my spiritual life. I realized that many claim Christ as Christ's personal Savior and are one of his disciples in this day are doing the same thing the disciples did 2,000 years ago. We kind of stand there gazing. This is not my message tonight. And we're just kind of gazing, just kind of waiting, and whatever the case may be, and we're not doing anything for God. That would preach tonight, but I want to look at what I think they maybe could have also been looking for. I realized this particular verse just spoke to me. I realized that I'm looking for some things from God. I think they were looking for some things from God, but I realized there were some things, some notable things that we're going to talk about. We're going to go through our Bible some here tonight, but some things that we need to get from God. Got me to thinking that there are some things I'm looking for to get from God, and it caused me to stand looking as well at times. And by the way, if we're going to stand looking and gazing, and he says go ahead and look up, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But you know what, as we're looking up, we need to be busy though. You know, as we're looking up and we're waiting and we're watching, you know what, so often we get looking at the economy and everything's just dark today and so forth. You know what, Jesus is still shining today. Okay, you know what, we may look around, you know what, I still have a spring in my step today as I did the administration before. I can't go back too many because I'm still a young man, amen? But the truth of the matter is, amen, you can say amen to that, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, I still have the same spring in my step. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, doesn't matter who's leading our country, I have the spring in my step. I have the joy in knowing that Jesus is still on the throne tonight, and he will have the last word. And he is in full control. We serve a sovereign God, as I had mentioned this morning. Hey, you know what? I have that joy tonight. And you know what? You can still have that joy as well. But you know, it just got me thinking here a little bit. As I'm looking and as I'm working, as I'm looking, I need to be busy working. But I want to ask you, what are you looking for? What are you looking for tonight? Are you looking for a raise or a better job or a new car or a new home or a better lifestyle? And by the way, these things aren't bad. If God goes ahead and gives you these things, use them for the glory of God. But you know, life can be pretty empty and be pretty dull if that's all we're living for. You know, oftentimes we Christians, we can get caught up in materialism just like the world does. You know, we want that the next new computer model, and we want the next new model of a car. So, and again, that's not necessarily bad, but the truth of the matter is, if things is all we're living for, you know what, we're pretty much heading for a kind of an empty life. You know what, we ought to be searching for souls. We ought to be searching for what we can go ahead and do for God. We ought to push ourselves out of the way, our pride out of the way, and get busy for God. But what are some things that you're looking for? Yes, these disciples, got to kind of give them a little break. Yeah, you know, maybe, I don't know how long they stood there gazing, but the angel of God came down in white apparel and said, hey, listen, you know, he went ahead and proclaimed the promise, which said unto ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, this Jesus whom you serve, this Jesus who told you was going to go ahead and die and be buried and raised again, you know what, which was taken up from you into heaven. Hey, you know what, praise the Lord for this, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know, I think maybe they were just wanting to get something from God. I'm going to just say they wanted to get something, and there's some things that I got thinking about that the New Testament teaches here. Several things. There's four things tonight I want to share with you that we need to get from God. Number one, we should be looking for Christ. We ought to be looking for Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to go back and forth with some scriptures tonight, but Luke chapter 21. read several along the way. I've jotted down several of the verses as well because I have a lot of scripture, but Luke chapter 21, I'll get there here. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. You know what? Number one, what are some of the things? What are some of the things that the New Testament teaches us? What are some of the events that the New Testament teaches us that we should be looking for? Again, I want you to think about, what are you looking for, Christian, tonight? What are you looking for just a better life and what the world can give? Or are you looking for what God can go ahead and give you, the blessings that God can go ahead and give you? But you know, we ought to be looking for, number one, we ought to be looking for Christ. In Luke chapter 21, 25 through 28, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, and I think some things will begin to come to pass today, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know what we should be looking for? We ought to be looking up. We ought to be looking for Christ. We ought to be looking for the day that them clouds will be rolled back, and he's going to come back as he promised. We ought to be looking for that. There's going to be some events that will take place before he comes. There may be some persecution. There's going to be some trials. You know what? I think there's evidence of, I think we're living in the last days. And I'm not going to stand here and people say certain dates and whatever. They're crazy. The Bible says right there back in Acts, no one knows the time of the season. No, it's only in God's power. No one knows when Jesus is going to come. I'm not going to predict the time, but let me tell you something. You know, just kind of looking around, you know, and if I may say, you know, it just feels a little different. It really does. I don't know about you. It just does. You know, looking, you know, everybody's concerned about the economy. And so I understand that. You know, we want to make a living in different things. But you know what? Looking at where America is spiritually tonight, how totally, you know what? We are founded again. I know we were founded upon this book right here. But how far we've gotten away from that book. Boy, it's scary. Boy, it's scary. I tell you what, seeing churches close down and seeing everything happen spiritually, seeing the problems that we have economically, you know, I just think that Christ's return is imminent. I think it's coming soon, one of these days. And the Bible says we ought to be looking up, and because redemption is going to draw nigh, he's going to come back as he promised. Hey, what are you looking for tonight? I'm looking for Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. One of these days, our Savior will cease all the trouble by him coming through them clouds. We're going to go ahead and be with him in glory. One of these days, there's going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more heartaches. There's going to be no more bills. Amen. No more bills. No more broken down cars. Been there, done that. Got several t-shirts. No storms. No heartache. No sickness. No cancer. No Alzheimer's. No Parkinson's. Why? Because Jesus is going to come back one of these days. Are you looking for him? Or are you looking for what you can get out of this life? Are you expecting to go? You know, we may not go ahead and live to 70 years old. You know, Jesus may come tonight. You know, praise the Lord. We ought to get excited about that. Jesus may come tonight. You know, and I know people say, I don't understand it. Well, you know what? I don't want him to come tonight. I want to get married. I want to get my license. You know, I remember all the dreams I had as a teenager. You know, and I'd hear preachers preach like this, you know. And the truth is, he could have came in my lifetime as a teenager. He could come who knows when. We just don't know. But the truth of that, you know, and I say, you know what? That's good. I'm excited about that. Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven, but, you know, I certainly would like, I used to remember the things. I'd like to get my license first. You know, I wouldn't mind getting married first. I wouldn't mind, you know, some of the things, establishing a home and different things and so forth. Now I look, anyways. But the truth of the matter is, but listen to me. You know, but you know, in heaven, that's not going to matter. You know, you may think, well, I don't want Jesus to come tonight. Yeah, there's so much more that I want to do. Hey, what is so much more? What is so much better than to be with Jesus in heaven? You know what? And you say, well, I'd like to go, you know, maybe some I want to go ahead and get my license. Hey, you know what? You won't need a license in heaven, amen? You know, you won't need a license. You won't need a car. And if I hope maybe he does. If God wants to give me a Ford Mustang in heaven, I may not get it this side of heaven. Go ahead, Jesus. Have a whole parking lot full of them. All different colors. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you won't need them things in heaven. All the earthly things that we think are so important, it's not going to matter up in heaven. Amen. But you know what? Jesus is going to go ahead and come. We ought to be looking for him, verse number 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Look up. Then look up and lift up up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Matthew 24:42-44, the Bible says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour of your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think no man the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? If Jesus was to come back tonight, are you ready for him to come? I mean, is your heart ready? Do you know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? Boy, you know, are you ready for Christ's return? I believe it's soon. Look up, Christian. Look up, teenager. Look up, child. Hey, look up. Look up. Are you looking for Jesus? I said, number one, you know what? I'm going to give the disciples a little break. You know, maybe they were standing gazing for days. I don't know. Maybe they were distraught. Maybe they should have gone ahead and got busy. You know, the job was given to them. The commission was given them. Hey, disciples, get going. We could go ahead and look at that and park there a while. But the truth of the matter is, maybe they were looking for some things here tonight. And tonight, I want to say we should be looking for our Savior. Number two, we should be looking for a change. We should be looking for our change. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. And again, I'm just telling you, I love being a Christian. These are things that we have to look forward to. Amen? Titus 2:13, we ought to be looking for our change, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches us that when Jesus returns, all the redeemed will experience a great bodily change. The Bible says, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51. Yes, 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know, I'm going to get a new body. I'm not going to have the aches and pains that you know, we maybe kind of wake up to in the morning. You know, it used to be, you know, you used to get up and now it's, you know, and you got to kind of get the blood flowing. You know what? In heaven, when we wake up, we won't have to worry about that. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a bodily change, if you will. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I read verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see, verses 1 through 8. I'm just reading a bunch of scriptures here about change. We're going to have a change. You know what? Obama can go ahead and tell change all we want, but let me tell you something. We got a whole lot better change coming. Amen? We're going to have a new body. We're going to be able to see our Savior's face to face. Boy, what glory that's going to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon you, that the mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. If we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hey, you know what? Our body's going to be a whole lot different. I don't exactly know what I'm going to go ahead and look like. Maybe I'll be a little bit more massive than I am now. Maybe a little bit more, you know, I got to be very careful with flexing and so forth. I've ripped out of many a shirt and suit, but you know, maybe I'll be a little bit better looking. I don't know how you'll go ahead and be and so forth. We can laugh tonight. Amen. It's all right. Having a good time this evening. But you know, the Bible says we're going to be different. You know, there's going to be a change. You know, you won't have them sorrows. You won't have them aches. Boy, thank God for that. You know, I know sometimes it may seem like you get up and it's sorrow after sorrow after sorrow, but as a child of God, one day that's going to go ahead and change. The heartache and the death, there'll be no death, there'll be no sorrow. I thank God for that. You're going to experience a great bodily change. You might look more handsome. I don't know whether I can look anyways, but maybe my new nickname might be Mr. Handsome. I don't know. Maybe Mr. I have no idea, but either way, we're going to be changed. Amen. Thank God. We're going to be changed. The Bible says we will have a change. Hey, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking for a change. And I'm number three. I'm looking for a Jesus. I'm looking for a change. I'm looking for a city. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, you can go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says in verses 8 through 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. You know who's the builder and heaven's builder is God. He's the contractor. It's going to be perfect. You know what? There's not going to be any. Sometimes you wonder if the walls are going to be plumbed and so forth. Everything's going to be straight. You know why? Because a perfect builder, perfect contractor is creating heaven. Amen. Boy, we ought to be looking for a city. You know, John had Abraham set the right example for us to be looking for a better city. And one of these days, we're going to go ahead and leave this place, leave this old world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, but I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, there is no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You feel at home this evening? I don't know. I hope you don't feel at home. I don't feel at home here. I'm only here for just a little while, but one of these days, Jesus is going to come. One of these days, we're going to see that city. Amen. Boy, John was privileged to see that city. And he, Revelation 21, 1 and 2, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One day, as John, we're going to see that place too. We're going to see that holy city too. We're going to see the streets of gold. We're going to see the walls of jasper. We're going to see the gates of pearl. We're going to see the foundations garnished with precious stones, the jasper, the sapphire, the chalcedony, the emerald, the sardonyx, the sardis, the chrysolite, the beryl, the topaz, the chrysoprasus, the jacinth, the amethyst. And you say, preacher, do you know what all them stones are? No, but they got to be pretty, because God, who is perfect, makes pretty things. Amen? And I'm looking forward to that. Hey, you know, I'm going to have my own mansion. I don't know what it is. By the way, I give you an early invite. You know, when we get to heaven one day, come on over to the mansion. We'll sit back and sip some tea. Amen? But I'm going to have my own mansion, in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. He promises, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it was not so, I would have told you, hey, I'm going to have my own mansion. But you know what's more precious than the streets of gold? You know what's more precious than the gates of pearl? You know what's more precious than all them stones? It's going to be Jesus, amen? It's going to be seeing him face to face, amen? Hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why do I have a good time as a Christian? Because I got a lot to look forward to, amen? You know what? You may feel a little pain this evening. You may feel a little heartache this evening, but you know what? It won't last forever. In that city, we'll see our saved loved ones that's gone on before. Amen. See them dear friends that have gone on before. See the preachers that have influenced you that have gone on before. You see family members that have gone on before. You see, you know, we're all going to be united one day in heaven if we're saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Teenager, are you ready? Adult, are you ready? Child, are you ready? Hey, number one, you know, we ought to be looking for the Savior. We ought to be looking for a change. We ought to be looking for a city. And number four, I'm moving along pretty good tonight, but we ought to be looking for the consummation. 2 Peter, I'll explain that in a minute. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 9 through 14, we'll read. Verses 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation in godliness, looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire being shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto you, hath written unto you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. We ought to be looking for the Savior, we ought to be looking for the city, we ought to be looking for a change, we ought to be looking for consummation. By consummation, I mean that the time when everything is placed under the foot of the Lord Jesus is going to be a time. You know what? The world can go ahead and mock Christ all they want, but one of these days, he has the last word. You know, there's going to come a time, it's consummation, that's that word consummation, when everything is placed under the foot of the Jesus. That is a time when Jesus will be ultimately exalted and reigning on the earth and reigning forever. That time that the world will bow and confess his lovely name. Hebrews 10 verse number 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools. Romans 14, 11, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, I read, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Sounds to me, you know what? Christ is going to have the last word. World, you go ahead and you mock Christ all you want, but let me tell you something, Jesus has the last word. Hey, you know what? You soldiers that put Jesus to the cross, who had the last word? Up from the grave he arose. He had the last word, amen. And let me tell you something, the world can go ahead and mock Jesus all they want, but every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. All the politicians who want to go ahead and pass laws against the word of God, gay marriage and homosexuality and abortion and so forth, let me tell you something, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hey, Hollywood, who defies everything righteous, go ahead, promote your adultery, go ahead, promote your homosexuality, every knee shall bow there, Hollywood. Hey, George Clooney, every knee shall bow. Hey, Jennifer Aniston, every knee shall bow. Hey, rock industry that's done more to promote Satan and sex and drugs. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, Jesus will have the last word. Every knee is going to bow. Hey, Britney Spears, every knee will bow. Hey, Eminem, every knee is going to go ahead and bow. Hey, Christina Aguilera, every knee shall bow. Hey, Madonna, every knee shall bow. Hey, Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana, every knee shall bow. Hey, AC/DC, every knee shall bow. Hey, Metallica, go ahead and sing all the wickedness and put that junk in the minds of our kids today. But hey, Metallica, every knee shall bow. Hey, devil, who has the last word? Go ahead and run rampant all you want. But you know what? Hell is going to be wide open for you. Every knee is going to bow, devil. Hey, Marilyn Manson, every knee shall bow. Hey, rebellious teenager who doesn't want to give up their music, every knee will bow. You'll someday stand before a holy God. You may want to, no, God, I'm not going to go ahead and give up my music. But one day, one day, every knee is going to go ahead and bow. And you know what? You're not going to be smiling and say, hey, look at what I did, Jesus. No, you're going to be at his feet saying, man, I should have done that. Hey, Larry Flint, Hugh Hefner, playboy who's done so much to destroy the morals of our nation. Your behavior will be one reason why God will judge like a Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what, Larry Flint? You have to, every knee is going to go ahead and bow. Hey, there's not one of us, whether we are living and doing what we ought, whether we're living in known sin, living like the world, all of us at the name of Jesus is going to bow. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for God to come and rule and reign. I'm looking for that city with all its beauty and Jesus, who's going to be the light of that beautiful city. I'm looking for my change. I'm looking for the fact that I'll have no more pain, no more heartaches. I'm looking for Christ. Boy, what a joy one day, Christian Tide, as I remind you, won't it be wonderful to see Jesus face to face? You know, all the toils and all the heartaches and all the trials that you've gone through and you just kept on going, serving God. And all one day, you're going to face Jesus. And I think one of the greatest phrases, obviously, I look forward to the time when Jesus says, I love you, Sean. But, you know, I also look forward to him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm looking for the day when Jesus will come. All the battles you face will be gone. All the scars will be healed forever. I believe you're going to have a new body. Disappointments will be ceased forever. Criticisms will be all gone. So I'm not going to go ahead and at this particular moment with the disciples criticize them for standing there gazing. If they stood there for any long certain amount of time, you know, they need to get busy and go fulfill the job that Jesus has put forth. But I wonder what they were looking at. Maybe they were looking for the city. Maybe they were looking for the Christ of that city. Maybe they were looking for a change. And maybe they were looking for consummation. A day when God's going to go ahead and rule and reign. Go ahead and mock him. World, mock him. Have your fun. But guess what? I read the back of the book and we win. We win. Many would say they should stop gazing at busy. But they, you know, they lost their master. I can imagine it must have been a difficult period for them. They got to serve him hand and foot. But tonight I ask you, what are you looking for? You looking for a new race, a new car, a new home, a better lifestyle? All of them aren't bad. If God blesses you and gives them to you, great, and use them for the glory of God. But you know, let's get our focus. Let's get our sights on the right thing. We ought to be looking for a soon return. Be looking for that change, bodily change, for that city, and for the day that Christ is going to rule. You know, and if you're looking for the things of this world, you know, I find that most people, and good Christian people, they who live for material things, they're not really the happy ones. But you know, the happiest Christians I know are the ones that's found serving, found sacrificing, giving an agape kind of love, a self-sacrificing kind of love like Jesus Christ did, which we ought to be doing the same for others. I find really the Christians that are willing to give up something and giving their all for Christ, they're really the happiest ones. And not to put down those who like the material things, and again, you know what, and I find, you know, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, if that verse be true, and it is, you know, if I find myself delighting myself in the Lord, you know what, it just might be, he'll give me some of the things that I so desire. You know, there are some things that, you know, I say jokingly, boy, I'm still waiting, God, I'm still waiting. By the way, I think you know this, nice new Mustang out here would be wonderful, you know. But if I drive around in a red Ford van, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for things, or are you looking for those things that can only be found in Jesus Christ? That's what the gist of the message was tonight. I'm giving you a little time back this evening, actually. But I hope that we can kind of zoom in. I just was reading these verses, and it spoke to my heart. You know, being a Christian is great. I wouldn't change this for the world. And I mean it when I say I wouldn't. I am so thankful that we've been here over a year now, and I'm just so thankful for the people that God has allowed me to pastor. I wouldn't change this for the world. I wouldn't change a Christian life for the world. I wouldn't change anything, you know, I wouldn't change the God I serve for the world. And I'm asking you tonight, I'm just kind of, as I preach to you a little while, what are you looking for this evening? Are you looking for the right things? Or is a little materialism there kind of, well, you find yourself negotiating with God, as I've illustrated so many times. God, I'll give you this time, but you find yourself doing that. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, He wants it all. Our purpose, as I mentioned before, our purpose of being here is not for self, it's to glorify God. And what are you doing? Are you glorifying Him? I mean, do you know in your heart of hearts tonight, Christian, that, boy, I preach to the best of my ability. I think I've got things in order, and I think I'm glorified. I think He's happy. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's just kind of picking at something. Something that, and it may not be a bad thing. May not be a bad thing. It might be just something that's kind of deterring you away from being what God wants you to be. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is a bad thing. I don't know. You know. But whatever it is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Our Heavenly Father, I'm sure we love you tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know it was just a very simple message. Use your word to present it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you work on our hearts. I pray, God, that we'll get our life in proper perspective and kind of be looking for the things that you want us to be looking for. I pray, God, that as we are looking, though, however, as we are looking up and we're gazing and waiting for you to come, that we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll be busy at the same time. But, Lord, whatever, Holy Spirit, whatever you're dealing with on hearts tonight, may decisions be made for your glory, for your cause. We ask all these things. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe here tonight, God spoke to your heart. I know, very simple message, but God spoke to your heart this evening. You need to make a decision. The music's going to go ahead and play I Surrender All. If you need to make a decision tonight, won't you go ahead and make it?